Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, my rapid reaction to the Steelers 39-24 preseason win over the Carolina Panthers. Again, this is the final preseason game of the year for the Steelers. A lot of players fighting to earn a spot on the roster, and there were still spots to be won at wide receiver, outside linebacker, safety, punter, and more. And so, you know, it was fun to see the Steelers really come to play tonight. You know, so many of those borderline players put some really good tape out there, and the Steelers' job is not going to be easy on Saturday as they try to whittle this roster down from 90 to 53. We're also going to do my final 53-man roster prediction at the end of today's podcast. You know, we have guys like Ola Adini, Keon Adams, Damone Patterson, Justin Hunter, LJ Fort, Matthew Thomas, Marcus Allen. You can't fit all of those players on this roster, so I'll tell you which players I think the Steelers will keep on Saturday. But let's start today with my rapid reaction to that game tonight. And what a performance by Josh Dobbs, the player of the game without a doubt. I mean, he looked like a different Josh Dobbs out there. This is his best game as a Steeler by far. And for a guy who coming into this year, right, he's known since April, since the moment Mason Rudolph was taken in the draft, that his spot on this roster was tenuous at best, right? He really had no future as a Steeler, no matter how good he played. He was coming into a situation where he would have to either beat out Mason Rudolph, who, again, had no expectation of him coming into this season, right? Mason Rudolph drafted as the heir apparent. He would sit for a couple years and then take over for Ben Roethlisberger whenever that happens, whether it's a year from now, 2 years from now, or even later. So again, how Mason Rudolph looked this preseason was almost meaningless. He was guaranteed a roster spot. And then you've got Landry Jones, a veteran backup in this league who has played real significant NFL minutes, has won NFL games before, right? And then you've got Josh Dobbs going into his second year, and he looked very much like a developmental player a season ago. And so what was the future for Josh Dobbs on this team? There wasn't one, right? And still, Josh Dobbs in this last preseason game, likely the last game he will play as a Steeler, is his best one by far. 8 of 12, 151 yards, a touchdown through the air, another 18 yards, running the football, and a touchdown on the ground. As I said, he looked like a different player. This is the best Josh Dobbs we've seen by far. And you know, he was confident. He was accurate. He had good timing on his throws. He did a very good job of avoiding the rush, keeping his head downfield, and using his athleticism to get yards when the throw wasn't there. It was terrific for Josh Dobbs. And my hat goes off to him because, again, he wasn't playing for a spot on this 53-man roster. He was playing for a spot on someone else's 53-man roster. And in that way, I think he earned himself a spot somewhere else in the NFL, whether or not, you know, he gets picked up via waivers or when he gets cut on Saturday, or if the Steelers can find a trade partner in the next 48 hours and can potentially get a sixth or seventh round pick for Josh Dobbs. Of course, that's a win-win in both spots because Dobbs then goes to a place that that wants him, and the Steelers get something back in return. My hat's off to Josh Dobbs. He was terrific tonight. Again, he came into a performance where it really didn't matter how good he looked. He was going to get cut on Saturday, and instead he went out there and just played his heart out. Came out there, played with fire, played with confidence. Awesome to see from Josh Dobbs. For Mason Rudolph, it was much of the same, right? I mean, he also went out there and played with real confidence. And finally, we got to see some signs of life from Mason Rudolph this preseason. Again, you know, throughout training camp, I talked about the ebbs and flows that he had throughout camp and the good days and the bad days, the good reps and the bad reps, as you'll see from a rookie quarterback. The problem was when he got out there on the field during preseason, it was, you know, there weren't too many good reps, but there were plenty of bad reps. This one, though, I thought was much, much better. Again, this was the first time we really saw him willing to throw down the field, willing to throw into tight spaces, really comfortable back there in the pocket. Finished 5 of 9, 102 yards, 2 touchdowns through the air, ran in that 2-point conversion, and loved that play because, again, I love the fire, the moxie that he showed on that play, getting into the Panthers linebacker's face after he took a bit of a cheap shot, running that one in. He was not without his issues, right? He again dropped the football on a snap from under center, which is one that he's been trying to learn. Again, he played pretty much exclusively shotgun in college, so he's still got to learn that. He's still got some growth he's got to do over the next year or so This is the last time we're going to see Mason Rudolph this season, right? He's now going to be buried on the depth chart. He'll be the inactive third quarterback on most Sundays. And so, again, this was a good final step for him in preseason. As I said going into this game, I wanted to see something from Mason Rudolph in this game. Show us that there's at least something to build on here. Because, again, if you're the heir apparent and your first preseason is four, you know, pretty poor preseason games, that wasn't going to be fun going into next year. And instead, Mason Rudolph goes out there, plays pretty well. A great night for both of our quarterbacks. For Matthew Thomas, he just continues game after game to impress. The thing about Matthew Thomas now, you know, I went into this process very cautious with Matthew Thomas, right? Of course, there were a lot of fans out there who were putting their hopes in Matthew Thomas at inside linebacker and saying, oh no, Matthew Thomas can be the guy at inside linebacker, not Bostic, not Maticavich, right? And you know, all of these worries about how is this team going to replace Ryan Shazier, and so many fans thought it's this undrafted free agent out of Florida State. Of course, you know, I was very hesitant to buy into that. And now here I am after four preseason games, and especially this one, and you do start to see it from him, right? You can start to picture Matthew Thomas as a real playmaker in this league. I mean, you saw the big play that he made in this one, whether or not that was an interception or fumble, whatever it was, the return that he had should have been a touchdown. He kind of ran out of gas at the end. This is a player who, again, has proven this from preseason game one all the way through to preseason game four. Very consistent in his play game after game, to the point where the Steelers invented a defense for him in the dress rehearsal, the seminal defense where he was out there on third and long situations. There's no doubt in my mind after this game that he will not just be a member of the 53-man roster, that he will see time at inside linebacker throughout the 2018 season. Not necessarily as a starter. I'm not sure that he's going to take over for John Bostic at any point this season, but he will definitely be in there in situational spots with that seminal defense or something like it. Matthew Thomas is a player who, the more you watch him, the harder it is to keep him off the field. He finished tonight with 11 tackles, a sack, and that fumble recovery. He was terrific. I'm glad he was able to come back in after he had, you know, his calf injury, or whether that was cramps or not. You know, again, glad to see him come back in. This is a player who, look, let's just say it, right? He could eventually be the starter on this team. It's not out of the question at this point to say Matthew Thomas can be a starter on this football team in 2018. And it's not going to be week one, but if we're talking about week 10, 11, 12, as he continues to improve throughout practice, he's going to get reps in games. He very easily could take over, especially if Bostic has some issues as we get into the regular season. Matthew Thomas, a real find for this this front office, and he has had an incredible preseason, capped off with an incredible performance this evening. And another guy I want to talk about is Tevin Jones. Now, Tevin Jones, a wide receiver who, he had a moment there throughout camp where it looked like he was going to be this up-and-comer, right, at wide receiver. He trailed off a bit, kind of fell off throughout camp, was quiet for the last couple weeks. Glad to see him come back into form in this final preseason game. He had a nice couple catches there, including the big touchdown. It's too little too late for him as far as making the 53, right? That ship has sailed. The 53-man roster at wide receiver, pretty much, you know, over and done with. But for Tevin Jones, he does enter himself into a pretty interesting conversation as far as what wide receiver or wide receivers are the Steelers going to keep on the practice squad. There are so many now that you might want to keep. Damone Patterson, of course, definitely on that list. Trey Griffey on that list. Marcus Tucker on that list. And now Tevin Jones on that list. And maybe you even enter Quadri Henderson onto that list, who, as a returner, you know, left a lot to be desired this preseason. But as a receiver tonight, he was very interesting, right? We saw him on the end around last week. Is there something to build on there for Quadri Henderson in the future? Is there a reason to keep him on the 50, or not on the 53, but on the practice squad? I think there's certainly something to think about over the next couple days for the Steelers. So Tevin Jones entering himself into that conversation as well. And again, we talk about this. The Steelers always bring in these young receivers who, maybe these guys didn't earn their spot on the 53, but they've certainly done enough to make you want to keep them around the system so that if there were injuries here, we could bring these guys up onto the 53. And then the other wide receiver I want to talk about is Justin Hunter, who, again, I thought he pretty much earned his spot last week with that performance against the Titans. Not a perfect performance, of course, but did enough in that game, you know, to continue earning his spot on the 53. And Damone Patterson had kind of trailed off. That was really his only his only competition. Patterson had kind of trailed off. Hunter makes the big play for the touchdown. Of course, he had a couple of other mistakes. But in this game, again, he had a nice play, a couple of nice plays in this one. You know, Hunter, at this point, the fourth best receiver on this team. Not a great spot for the Steelers to be in because, again, Hunter has never turned the corner as a player like we've been hoping, right? The hope has always been with Hunter that, yes, he's this up-and-down player, but given the Steelers system, given how much success they've had with wide receivers, he checks so many boxes from an athleticism, from a size standpoint, that if the Steelers can do to him what they've done to other young wide receivers, that he could emerge as a great one. That doesn't seem to be the case, and we're still getting this kind of up and down Justin Hunter, but at this point, that's kind of the best we have as a fourth wide receiver. Before we continue today's podcast, let me tell you about our sponsor for today's show, MyBookie. You know, just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with, and that's why this season, MyBookie is your best bet. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. Their mobile site is very easy to use, and that's why I'm recommending them this season. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for all you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Again, visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. And then the injury situation coming out of this evening, there were a few. Damone Patterson went out with turf toe. Now, Tomlin said it was a hamstring during his post-game press conference. He may have misspoken because according to Chris Adamski of the Tribune Review, Damone Patterson was in a walking boot in the locker room. So I don't think that's a hamstring injury, right? It's more likely turf toe, but you know, whatever the injury is, it seems to be significant for Patterson and caused him to be in a walking boot. That could definitely affect his roster status. Again, because he has this turf toe injury, it does open him up to potentially being put on injured reserve for the season. And that's a way for the Steelers to kind of stash Damone Patterson for the year instead of moving him potentially to the practice squad. Ola Adini went out of the game with a hamstring injury in this one. He called it mild after the game. That according to Ray Fittipaldo of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Another interesting one. Again, Adini with the hamstring injury could be put on IR for the season. Given the way he played tonight, you probably wouldn't want to do that, right? Adini seems like a player who should be on the 53-man roster. And if it's just a mild injury, maybe you can hold out and have him be a member of the 53. Malik Golden, the safety, going down with what Tomlin called a significant knee injury. That was really tough to see, to watch Golden go down in the second half of this game. Again, Golden was right there on the cusp of the 53. I thought the safety situation was kind of muddied there, but Malik Golden, definitely one of those guys with Jordan Dangerfield, with Nat Burr, with Marcus Allen competing for the last spot at safety. Watching him go down like that, especially at this point in the fourth preseason game, really tough to watch. And then, as I said, Matthew Thomas went down with a calf injury. Maybe it was cramps. He was able to come back and return to the game, so not a significant injury there for Matthew Thomas. All right, and then let's get to my 53-man roster prediction. And honestly, it's a 54-man roster prediction because I do think when Le'Veon Bell comes in, the Steelers are going to get that exemption, and they'll be able to keep a 54th player. And that will be very key at a certain position, which the Steelers may be lacking healthy players at right now. And I think a certain player at that position probably earned himself a roster spot this evening. Let's start at quarterback. It's an easy one, right? Josh Dobbs, unfortunately, there's nothing he could do. He played terrifically. But again, it's going to be Ben Roethlisberger, Landry Jones, and Mason Rudolph will be your three quarterbacks. And Josh Dobbs likely shipped off somewhere else or cut if the Steelers can't find a trade partner. Those will be your three quarterbacks. At running back, Le'Veon Bell, James Conner, Roosevelt Nix, Jalen Samuels are my four running backs. Not changed since my first 53-man roster prediction. And the reason for that is, look, you know, Fitzgerald Toussaint would have been easier to put there if he were still the kick returner, but he is not now because of the Ryan Switzer trade. And for Steven Ridley, look, he was very good again tonight, and he was good in the first preseason game. The problem for him is that he's been injured for so long now that, you know, he just hasn't had enough body of work to put him over a guy like Jalen Samuels, or to make a case that this team needs to keep four running backs and a fullback, right? Does this team need Jalen Samuels and Stephen Ridley? I don't know that that's the case. And look, I'm not 100% sold on Jalen Samuels. I think he still has some athleticism issues. And really, for me at this point, it's about his burst, right? It's about his initial quickness. I think he has some trouble getting going on a play. But, you know, he didn't play a lot tonight, which I think tells you what you need to know there, right? Which is that they didn't play him a lot because they've seen what they need to see from him. Stephen Ridley looked very good, though. I think the Steelers are definitely going to have they're going to have a decision there over the next couple of days as far as Samuels versus Ridley or keeping both. But to me at this point, I think you just keep four, and I think you keep Jalen Samuels as your third running back. At wide receiver, again, this is a pretty easy one. Damone Patterson didn't really do anything. None of the wide receivers really emerged to take over a spot from Justin Hunter or from Darius Heyward-Bey, who I think were the two players at wide receiver who could have had their spot beaten out. So at wide receiver for me, it's Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, James Washington, Justin Hunter, Darius Heyward-Bey, and Ryan Switzer is your return specialist and a backup slot receiver until Eli Rogers is healthy. You know, Damone Patterson at this point, I think, is more likely to go to IR than he is to make the 53 again with that turf toe or hamstring, whatever it is. I think he's likely to go to IR, which means he will be with the team for another season. Trey Griffey, very much a prospect that could be on the practice squad. Same thing for Tevin Jones. Same thing for Quadri Henderson. Same thing for Marcus Tucker, right? The Steelers certainly have some wide receivers there who you want to keep around the system and kind of let them try again a year from now. But that's going to involve them being on the practice squad. At tight end, I am going to keep four tight ends. And the reason for that is I think you have to assume Vance McDonald will not be healthy and ready to go for week one. And Xavier Grimble, again, who had surgery on his hand, no real indication yet that he's going to be ready to go for week one. And so you have to keep another tight end. So you'll have two healthy tight ends against Cleveland. And so for me, it's going to be Vance McDonald, Jesse James, Xavier Grimble, and Bucky Hodges, who finally showed up as a receiver tonight. I thought looked pretty well or did pretty well in that game. Bucky Hodges, also a very underrated blocker throughout preseason so far. So, you know, look, Bucky Hodges, definitely the 54th player on this roster. When we start getting a healthy Vance McDonald back, when we start getting a healthy Xavier Grimble back, Bucky Hodges becomes expendable at that point. But at this point right now, given where we are from a health perspective at tight end, I have to keep Bucky Hodges on the roster. Again, having the 54th player because of Le'Veon Bell's exemption really helps me there to keep Bucky Hodges in a situation where, again, we have some health issues at tight end. On the offensive line, no changes from my original 53. Pouncey, DeCastro, Foster, Villanueva, and Marcus Gilbert are your starters. Chukwuemeka Okorafor, BJ Finney, Matt Filer are your backups. You're only keeping eight, not nine, which, yeah, and I think the Steelers would prefer to keep nine. Unfortunately, no one really emerged from this other pack, right? And I think what's nice, though, about having the three guys that they have is that Chukes can play either left or right tackle, Finney can play guard or center, and Filer can play tackle or guard, and he's played some center as well in practice. So, you know, again, you have a lot of players there who are versatile, right? And that's what you need on the offensive line. I've been very pleased with the quality that we've seen from those three backups. I think the Steelers will be fine just keeping eight offensive linemen. On the defensive line, again, no real changes. Lavon Hooks didn't do enough to earn a roster spot. I like Casey Sales a lot, but I think he is destined to be on the practice squad. And everyone else, Joshua Frazier, the seventh round pick out of Alabama, you know, him with Parker Cothran and Greg Gilmore and Kendall Vickers, they kind of all just get mushed together there. No one really was a big playmaker or disruptive throughout the preseason process. So on the defensive line, Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, Javon Hargrave, Tyson Alualu, LT Walton, and Daniel McCullers does earn a spot on the roster. Again, he has seen significant playing time and playing time with the starters at points. So I think the Steelers are definitely going to keep him again on the roster. At outside linebacker, I made a change. And I think this is an obvious one, but it's one that definitely needed to be made. Bud Dupree, TJ Watt, Anthony Ciccolo are the three. And then Ola Adini over Keon Adams. I had Adams before. Again, I thought Adams was overall more solid, but Adini had made more splash plays. The thing about Adini is He just kept making them, right? The thing, you know, it wasn't like, okay, he had a sack in this game and he had a sack in that game. Cool. He's had big play after big play in all of these games. And yes, he went down with a hamstring injury in this one, and hopefully it's not significant. If it is significant, you probably see him go to IR as well, and then Adams gets promoted to the 53. But if it's not the case, what I like about Oladini is that he can be a specialty pass rusher, right? He's very good as far as his technique in rushing the passer. He's not one of these guys that the Steelers love to have, which are just these, you know, let's just speed rush around the end or around the tackle and see if we can get to the quarterback first, right? And the quarterback easily steps up in front. Oladini, much more nuanced in his pass rushing, understands how to use his hands, understands how to use his leverage. You know, again, much better at getting to the passer. And it's the kind of player I've talked about this team needing at outside linebacker. You know, this team so far, when we get to these third and long situations, it's just trotting out Bud Dupree, trotting out T.J. Watt, and trying to use one of them to get to the passer, and the other one usually drops back into coverage. You know, this team could use a player who on third down you're bringing in, and you're just telling him, you know, it's kind of the old Bill Cowher telling Greg Lloyd, you know, get to the quarterback, right? That's what we need, and Oladini can be that. Now, do I think the Steelers are going to use him in that way? No, right? I mean, you saw what happened last year with James Harrison, who should have been that type of player. James Harrison last year was, without a doubt, the Steelers' best pure outside pass rusher, and yet he saw very few snaps because, again, the Steelers don't use their edge rushers, their linebackers, in that way right now. And so Oladini makes the roster, but I don't think he gets used, right? I think if you're hoping that Oladini makes the roster and sees time over Anthony Ciccolo, I think you're going to be sorely disappointed. When Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt get injured, and from what we've seen throughout their careers so far, they will likely miss some time this season. Anthony Ciccolo will be the backup there. And what we've seen from Anthony Ciccolo this preseason has been very disappointing, right? I think Anthony Ciccolo could be a roster cut if the Steelers had more depth at outside linebacker. If it wasn't an undrafted free agent in Oladini going up against a former seventh round pick in Keon Adams, who missed his entire rookie year with injury, right? You know, Ciccolo has to make this roster by default in that case. But if there were another veteran outside linebacker competing with Ciccolo, you can make a real argument that based on how poor Ciccolo has played this preseason, he should be cut. But that will not be the case at this point. At inside linebacker, I got Bostic, Vince Williams, Tyler Matakevich, Matthew Thomas, and I'm keeping LJ Fort on the roster. Although I don't know that the Steelers are going to keep both Matthew Thomas and LJ Fort on the roster. LJ Fort, very good on special teams, very good as a coverage linebacker for this team. As we've seen before, very fast, very athletic. He's been better at pass rushing this year. He should have been, and I've said this before, he should have been in Tyler Matakevich's spot at some point during the preseason process. He should have been given a chance to be the backup inside linebacker. He was not, and I think that tells you what you need to know about where the Steelers feel like they are with LJ Fort. They still feel like Matakevich is the backup at inside linebacker if anything were to happen to Bostic, and Matthew Thomas, see, you know, with the Seminole defense now, is very much their coverage linebacker, and that makes LJ Fort in some ways expendable to them. Matakevich, in my eyes, is a special teams player at best. At inside linebacker, I do not want to see him. I want him to see the field the same way I want Nat Burr to see the field at safety, in that I do not at all want these guys to see the field. They have real deficiencies from an athleticism standpoint that this team just doesn't have enough talent to cover up. And so, you know, but the Steelers don't feel that way, right? If Bostic goes down, Matakevich is coming in. And so if the Steelers are only going to keep four inside linebackers, it very well could be the case that they cut LJ Fort. And in that way, I think they could, you know, you still want to have nine linebackers. So maybe they keep both Adams and Oladini and cut LJ Fort. I think that there is a scenario where that plays out. My 53-man roster prediction will not have that happen. At cornerback, pretty easy here as well. Joe Haden, Artie Burns, Mike Hilton, those are your three starters. Cam Sutton as a nickel corner, outside corner, can play some dime, played in the dollar as well throughout camp. Cam Sutton, very, very good throughout the preseason. The Steelers have a real find there as far as a utility player, a Swiss Army knife at corner. Cody Sensabaugh has to make the roster. He just has to, given what the Steelers have right now and Brian Allen. Brian Allen can't beat out Cody Sensabaugh as far as your backup outside corner. We also saw Cody Sensabaugh plays some nickel tonight, which I thought was really, really interesting. Again, Tomlin continuing to preach versatility in the secondary. And so watching Cody Sensabaugh, who has primarily been an outside corner his entire career, playing some nickel, that was very interesting. And then, you know, I'm going to keep Brian Allen on this roster as well. Again, because Brian Allen, still very intriguing from a size, speed. He's raw at the position, right? He just converted, you know, later in college from wide receiver to corner. So he's got a lot to learn about the position. At this point, you know, what he developed in 2018 was this gambling style that he has where, you know, he's very aggressive to the football and not in a good way, right? Leaving himself exposed and leaving the rest of the secondary exposed to big plays. You saw that against the Green Bay Packers a couple weeks ago. You saw that again tonight as, you know, he was kind of diving for balls and trying to make a play on the ball. I like to see him be aggressive, but again, he's at a point right now where that aggression is not paying off for him. In fact, you know, it's hurting this defense. You know, you don't want Brian Allen starting at this point, right? If something were to happen to Joe Hayden or Artie Burns, you'd want someone to step in. At this point, that's probably Cody Sensabaugh or even Cam Sutton. And so you have to keep those players on the roster. I do want to keep Brian Allen, though, because, again, this is only year two for him. Let him continue on the team. He's got great speed. You know, he's 6'2", right? That kind of size and speed you want to keep around just to see if you can develop. At safety, I'm keeping 5 here. I want to keep 11 defensive backs in total. And the reason for that is if this dollar defense is a real thing that this team is going to play, you know, for any sort of significant amount of time throughout the season, if it's anything more than just, you know, it's 3rd and 15 and we're rolling out the dollar, right, then you're going to need to keep a significant amount of defensive backs in order to play a 7 defensive back scheme. And so, you know, I'm going to keep 11. And the 5 safeties I'm keeping are, of course, starters Morgan Burnett and Sean Davis. First round pick, Terrell Edmonds. I put Nat Burr back on the roster. Even though, again, as a safety, I didn't like what I saw from him this preseason. You cannot deny how good he's been on special teams. And then the last safety I'm keeping on here is Jordan Dangerfield, a guy who's been around this team for a long, long time. I thought he had a very good camp. I thought he had a pretty good preseason as well. With the injury to Malik Golden, that leaves only Marcus Allen as the other player that can make it. I just haven't seen enough from Marcus Allen that tells me that he should be on this roster. Also, Allen can't play any free safety whatsoever, whereas I think Dangerfield probably could. And you know, this team, again, has a problem at backup free safety. If Sean Davis were to go down, they're going to put Morgan Burnett back there, which, again, I have some problems there as well. So, you know, I'm going to keep Morgan Burnett, Sean Davis, Terrell Edmonds, Nat Burr, Jordan Dangerfield. Again, Marcus Allen. Now, Marcus Allen could make the team in the dollar defense look. We haven't seen the dollar defense in preseason at all. He did play some dollar in camp. And so, again, how big the dollar defense is in 2018 may determine whether or not Marcus Allen makes the roster, because as a safety, Marcus Allen, you know, didn't do enough to make the roster. But again, he's not necessarily playing safety in the dollar look. He's playing inside linebacker. We didn't see him do that in preseason because they didn't play the dollar at all. So maybe if they feel like he can play that role more, or he can play that role better, or they've seen better from him in practice, maybe he makes the roster in that way. I think it's a very, very long shot. I don't think it's the case. I think Burnett, Davis, Edmonds, Burr, and Dangerfield are your 5 safeties. Now, they could keep only 4 there, right, and maybe cut Dangerfield and keep another offensive lineman, or this is a spot where you could cut Dangerfield and keep someone like Stephen Ridley if they felt like Ridley was worthy of a roster spot. At special teams, Chris Boswell is your kicker, Cameron Kanaday, your long snapper. Those two went unopposed throughout the entirety of camp and preseason. Jordan Berry, on the other hand, in a battle with Matt Weil. And as I said yesterday, you know, it's a prize fight, right? You know, you got Jordan Berry, who's been the punter here for a while. In order for Matt Weil to beat him out, you know, he had to knock him out, right? You don't leave this to the judges' scorecards. It can't be you could go this way, you could go that way, because, you know, that's always going to be the case that you're going to keep the guy you've already got. And I think that's what's going to happen at punter. I think Jordan Berry keeps his spot. Yes, he had a very bad game against Green Bay, bad enough to get called out by Mike Tomlin. But again, Matt Weil hasn't been so much better than him throughout the preseason that you feel like, well, we have to keep Weil over Jordan Berry. Berry was good tonight. Weil was probably a little better. The same thing can be said about that Tennessee Titans game. But a little better at punter was never going to earn Weil this spot. And so I keep Jordan Berry at the punter. Now, on the practice squad, you've got a ton of players who you can put here, right? We cut Keon Adams. You definitely want to keep Keon Adams on the practice squad. Marcus Allen, you want to keep him on the practice squad. Casey Sales on the defensive line. I definitely want Casey Sales on my practice squad. At wide receiver, if Patterson's on IR, cool. That means that I can keep someone like Trey Griffey or Tevin Jones or Marcus Tucker or Quadri Henderson or some combination of those players. On the offensive line, you know, you need to keep at least two offensive linemen on your practice squad in all likelihood because you're only keeping eight. I think Jake Rogers has some practice squad eligibility left, so he would be someone you could put on there. Like I said, on the defensive line, Casey Sales, maybe even Joshua Frazier. At corner, I think Deshaun Phillips has some practice squad eligibility left, so you may want to stash him there as well. Again, he had an up and down preseason and training camp, but definitely the best of the rest at corner. Now, the last thing that should be said about this 53 or 54 man roster is that things can change given that we're talking about the Steelers taking their 90 players and cutting them down to 53 or 54, right? But that's also going to happen with 31 other teams. And if there is a player that the Steelers feel like, you know, is better than some of the players we just talked about and they bring them in, well, then that's of course going to throw a monkey wrench in this whole situation, right? So definitely keep an eye out for that. The Steelers could be trading. Not only I think they're going to trade Josh Dobbs, but I think they could trade in for another player. Maybe they trade in for a tight end instead of Bucky Hodges. I think that is certainly a possibility as well. I think they could trade for a safety if they don't feel like, you know, they want to keep Burrow or Jordan Dangerfield. I think these are possibilities throughout the weekend. And we've seen them do this in the past. Of course, it happened with Ross Cockrell when he got released by the Bills. The Steelers signed him up. They've also, you know, last year they traded for Vance McDonald right around now. They traded for J.J. Wilcox. They signed Joe Hayden. Of course, all of those kind of change the outlook for the 53-man roster. So keep an eye out for that in the next couple days. Tomorrow on the podcast, I had a chance to talk to John Ledyard. I'm going to play that interview for you guys tomorrow. It's a great conversation. He and I go over his expectations for the 2018 season, where he's worried about this team, where he thinks this team's strengths are, and overall, where do the Steelers fit in the AFC and in the AFC North. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.